read to us. Verse 35 says, "Then Jesus told them, 'You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before the darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light whilst you have the light, so that you may become children of light.'" How many times were the words light or dark used in that passage? It was quite a lot. But often for me, even though I love Lord of the Rings and I love that kind of epic light versus darkness kind of battle story, light versus darkness imagery in the Bible can sometimes seem quite abstract to me and can kind of wash over me a bit and kind of doesn't necessarily resonate as much as other passages in the Bible. But I've realised that there are times in my life when actually this light versus darkness thing really, really does have quite a lot of meaning for me. So I don't know if this is just me being a bit oversensitive, but sometimes I can feel actually really quite overwhelmed by the level and depth of suffering in the world. I can watch the news on a Monday morning and it can kind of really impact me, and I can be like, oh gosh, there's so much going on out there that's so dark. Or I can be hearing about sex trafficking or the refugee crisis or abuse survivors and actually just feel quite overwhelmed by that level of darkness and suffering in the world. A few years ago, at Christmas time, I was reading a book which I expect quite a few of you have heard of. It's called 12 Years a Slave, and it was turned into a film. And it's a true story, and it's written by a black man who was living with his wife and children in the north of the USA, and he was tricked, drugged, and sold into slavery in the south of the USA, where he was then a slave for 12 years. And the story is just his experiences of that time. And it actually got to the stage where Jamie, my husband, forbade me from reading any more of the book, because I was actually getting so kind of bogged down and overwhelmed and upset by this book. And Jamie was like, "It's Christmas, we're here with your family, you know, this isn't the time." But actually, that kind of really impacted me. And it didn't make me question my belief in God, but it did make me question God. I was like, "God, I don't get it. How do you make sense? How does this world make sense when actually there is so much darkness and so much suffering? I literally can't get my head around it." And that's one time when actually this darkness imagery kind of began to make sense. Another time for me where maybe this light darkness thing in the Bible makes a bit more sense are those times in my life when I'm feeling really quite lost. I don't know if anyone else has ever had these times, but when actually maybe life hasn't worked out quite how you're expecting and you're a bit confused and you can't see the bigger picture. Maybe there's a specific decision that you need to make and you don't know which way to go, and you're genuinely not sure what your next step is and you just feel confused. That's how I felt at times. And it felt like I'm kind of lost on the hill in the dark without a head torch. I don't know where I am and I don't know what my next step is. And that did happen to me once, literally. I was climbing with a friend and I fell and I swung into the rock and I hit the rock. I was fine, but my head torch attached to my harness broke. And I then had to get from the top of the crag through the woods back to my car. And a journey that should have taken me about 25 minutes took me over an hour and a half because I literally couldn't see my next step. I was stumbling and tripping over kind of roots and trees all the way down. And sometimes life can feel a bit like that. We can't see the bigger picture. We don't know where we're going, and we can't see the next step. And I think in those moments, actually, that kind of darkness-light imagery, for me, makes a bit more sense. And then the final time when actually maybe this darkness-light imagery makes a bit more sense is that occasionally I have been at points in my life where I've actually proactively sought the darkness. There has been times in my life where actually I've known that I am making my own decisions and not giving my whole life to God and actually keeping part of my life back from God and making decisions maybe that are not honouring to God or other people. And in those moments, I've actually kind of sought to hide slightly in the darkness. And you know, it's interesting that the Bible kind of does draw a link between sin and darkness. Not that that's literal, you know, you can sin just as much in two in the afternoon as you can at two in the morning. But actually the Bible talks about sin as that stuff that happens in secret when no one's looking. If you think of financial fraud, not much financial fraud happens in broad daylight where everyone can see. It's something that we hide, that we kind of try and get away with when no one's looking. Or you know, sexual abuse or whatever it is, it happens in secret in the dark where no one can see. And that's kind of that light versus darkness imagery actually makes sense. And actually in our own lives, maybe not to that degree, but there might be parts of our lives that we know that we're holding back from God and we're not giving everything over to God. Sounds like they're having fun out there. I don't know if that's just me being a bit over sensitive, but maybe at times you too have felt really overwhelmed by the level of suffering. Maybe you too have looked at the news and just been like, oh God, I don't get this. I don't get how you make sense in this context. Or maybe it's suffering that you've endured yourself, or people that you really love have endured, and you've been like, God, I don't understand. How do you make sense in the context of this darkness? Or maybe you are here this morning feeling really confused, like you don't really quite know where you are in life, you're not sure what your next step is, maybe there's a decision and you can't see the way forward and you're not sure what God is saying or calling you to. Or maybe you're here this morning knowing that actually there is an aspect of your life that you're really struggling to give over to God, and you know that you need to bring it to God, but actually you're really struggling to do that. And for me, whatever the kind of darkness is that we resonate with, whatever our experience, I think God this morning is saying the same thing to us. And that was in the passage that we heard, which is, believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. And I think that's what God is calling us to become children of light. So what does that mean? How do you be a child of light? As I mentioned to you, when I was reading that book, 12 Years a Slave, it was Christmas time. And because it was Christmas, I was going to quite a few Christmas services. And actually, Christmas services are full of this light versus darkness imagery. I'm sure you will recognise this Bible verse that we always hear at Christmas. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Do you recognise that one? Yeah, that's Isaiah. And then there was this verse, which became my favourite verse for a while. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Do you recognise that one? That's John 1, verse 5. We always hear that at Christmas. So I was kind of sitting there struggling with the fact that I was a bit depressed about this book and didn't really understand God and the world in the context of it. And I was hearing these Bible verses and I thought, actually, that really does speak to me, because actually that's really real about the state of the world. And what struck me is that verse didn't say the light shines in the darkness and the darkness disappears. It's not like you get home to your house at night and you switch the light switch on and suddenly the room bursts into light and there's no darkness. Jesus doesn't promise to take away the darkness. He just promises that the darkness will not overcome it. And I think as we try and be children of light, that's quite an important message. Actually, as children of light, we are not called to take away people's darkness. We're not called to take away people's problems. We're not called to take away people's suffering as much as we'd really love to, and it's painful to not be able to. But Jesus doesn't promise to do that, so there's no way we can promise to do that. But actually, we are called to shine in those dark situations, and we're called to shine in other people's darkness. And that's really hard, because it means not giving up hope. It means that whatever the situation we're going into, we have to bring that little bit of hope, that little bit of light, and that little bit of love. That sounds like I'm quoting a song. But I don't know whether any of you have been through stages in your life when it has been really tough. But actually, you might have had people in your life who've kind of shone into that dark situation, And although they've not taken away your darkness and they've not taken away your suffering, they've actually been a real lifeline to you when you were in that place. And I think as children of light, that's what we're called to go from here and do, is to, with our friends, our family, our community in the world, not give up hope, but actually shine into different dark situations and bring as much hope and light and love as we possibly can. And what about if the darkness we're kind of dealing with is that darkness of confusion and not being able to see the way forward, of being lost on a hill without a head torch? How do we be children of light in that situation? Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." And I'm sure you have kind of much more mature, kind of longer relationships with God than I do in many cases. But my experience of God has been very much that God has brought clarity into my life and into various situations. I do believe that God is a God of bringing clarity. And for me, that clarity often comes when I'm praying. And I've this year tried to commit myself to really taking seriously those little thoughts or decisions or ideas that I have when I'm praying. And I can't scientifically prove whether that's just my mind wandering and me getting distracted and having thoughts, or whether that is actually God. But my theory is that actually we are particularly open to God and particularly open to the prompting of His Holy Spirit when we are in that place of prayer. And so if there are kind of confusions or things in my life that I kind of don't get, I do try and bring it to God in prayer and kind of take seriously those little ideas or thoughts that I have. It happened to me recently. Jamie and I had a diary clash that was actually quite annoying, and we didn't know what to do about it. It's only a little thing, it's not a big life decision, but we were talking about it and trying to come up with a solution of how we were going to deal with this diary clash, and we couldn't work it out, so we just left it. And then the next week I was praying with my house group, not about the diary clash, we were just praying for each other, and a little thought dropped into my mind. And maybe it was the obvious solution that I should have thought of last week, but actually I believe it was God just kind of planting that clarity in my life. So I would say, if you're in that place of confusion and darkness, to try and bring that to God in prayer. And then finally, standing again, slightly stating the obvious, but it says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." And again, in my relationship with God, He's spoken to me through the Bible probably more than He has in any other way. And I'm sure that there are people here this morning who are really brilliant and disciplined at reading their Bibles every day. And that is fantastic and amazing and well done. I imagine that there's also other people in this room who are much more like me, who try really, really hard, and it goes really well for a period of time, and then it goes less well again, and then you kind of try and pull up your socks and make it go better again. And it is a struggle. But actually, I do experience God speaking to me through His Bible and bring clarity to my situation through His Word. So I would encourage you to try to kind of keep that discipline of, even if it's just reading a paragraph a couple of minutes in the morning, actually allowing God to speak and bring clarity to you through His Word, I think is really powerful. And finally, how on earth do we be children of light if we are in a place where we are actually, if we're honest, seeking a bit of darkness? We're actually trying to hide aspects of our life from God. We're giving most of ourselves to God, but we know that there's bits that we are keeping back that we're actually really struggling to let go of. And obviously there's no easy answers here. Romans says, "The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light." And in some ways, that's quite an inspiring verse, but it kind of also feels like easier said than done. And I think for those of us who are in that place, it is just a case of being honest with God. Sometimes it's just taking that first step and saying, actually, God, you know that I'm trying to live for you. You know that I'm trying to give my life to you. You also know that there's that little bit of my life that I am really struggling to give to you. But actually, I want to give my whole self to you. I want to bring everything into the light. And will you help me make that first step? Will you just give me your hand to help me bring my whole life into the light and into you? And I think God really responds to that honesty and that prayer. And I think that is the first step in being children of light in that situation. So you'll be pleased to hear that I am going to stop talking now and ask the worship band to come back up. And as we kind of continue in our worship, I guess my hope and prayer is that as church, we might commit ourselves again this morning to being children of light. It might be that you're committing yourself to actually be a light in people's darknesses. It might be that there are specific people in your mind and in your heart who you know are in a really dark place and you want to be a light for them. Or it might be more general than that, that you actually really want to commit yourself to being a light in this world and to shining in the world's darkness. It might be that you want to commit yourself to going God's way and seeking his clarity. Or it might be that you want to commit yourself to bringing your whole life into the light. But whatever it is, or whether it's all three, do take this time as we worship to kind of recommit yourself to being a child of light. There will be a few people at the back who are willing to pray if you want just someone to stand with you as you make that prayer. But also, if there's something that's really worrying you this week ahead that is absolutely nothing to do with what I've said, I really encourage you to get some prayer for that as well, because we're here to build each other up and encourage each other. So do just take the opportunity. If there's something on your mind that's worrying you and you want someone to pray with you, do grab someone at the back and I'm sure they'd be happy to pray with you.